Hello, welcome to everyone who's watching and listening online. Also, welcome to everyone who's gathered here today. So glad that we can be together in this way. And I'm glad to be here today. Heather and I appreciate so much your prayers and concern after you learned that COVID made a visit to our house a couple of weeks ago. And we were blessed with mild cases, and we are so thankful for that. We know there are many others who haven't been, and we are certainly thankful for our experience. Would remind you all, be careful, observe the protocols, focus on safety, not only yours but those around you. Even though our cases were very mild, I still would not want to spend an extra day in the valley of the shadow of COVID. It's not any fun. So today we're going to continue a series of teachings I began two Sundays ago out of the prologue to the Gospel of John called Christmas. And the thinking behind this is right now we all need Mas Christ. We all need more Christ. We all need as much Christ as we can possibly get. And the place to turn for more Christ is to the prologue of John's gospel, because he opens his gospel with as big a description of Christ as you can find in the scriptures. He begins with the cosmic or the universal Christ, whom he describes or calls the Word, who was in the beginning, an echo of Genesis. The Word who was with God. The Word who was God. The Word through whom all things have been created. The Word who speaks or shines the light of life into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now, that's all in the first five verses of John chapter 1 in the prologue. And then in verse 6, there's a jarring shift. John shifts from the universal to the particular, from the cosmic to the specific. And this is what he says in John chapter 1, verse 6. Now, there was a man whose name was John. You might think he's going to say Jesus, but he's talking about John. There was a man whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. Now, he himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. Like so many other elements in the gospel story, the Gospel of John puts its own unique spin on the portrayal of John the Baptist. In fact, in the Gospel of John, John is never known as the Baptist. It's also important to point out John, who we're talking about here, is not the same John who wrote the gospel. Those are two different Johns. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other three gospels, John is portrayed as an eccentric prophet. We have those images in our head. He wore strange clothing. He ate strange food. He camped out in the wilderness. And he called crowds of people to repent of their sins with his thunderous preaching. And he was known in those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as the baptizer, the Baptist, because that's what he called people to do when they came to hear him preach and when they responded to his preaching. He baptized them in water. He's John the Baptist. But there's not so much of that in the Gospel of John. He baptizes with water. That's there. But it's not really the point of his ministry. In the Gospel of John, John is not the Baptist. He's the witness sent by God into the world to testify to what he has seen and heard. And he does it in a way so that he's always pointing away from himself. If you skip down to verse 19 in John chapter 1, we have several examples of how this works. Now, this was John's testimony as the witness. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replied with these familiar words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now, the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him. "So why do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you, stands one you do not know. He's the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Now, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John gave this testimony, because that's what witnesses do. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." One writer has described John in the Gospel of John as the man who was not. That's the emphasis of the passage I just read. Religious leaders send a team of investigators from Jerusalem to the wilderness to check in on John and to see what he's getting up to by baptizing all of these people. And did you notice in that passage how John spent far more time focusing on who he was not rather than who he was? "I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." He says, "I'm not. I'm not the one you should be paying attention to. I'm not the one you're waiting for. I'm not the one you're looking for. You're looking and waiting for someone else." John describes himself and his ministry in relationship to someone else whose sandals, he says, "I am not," there it is again, "I am not worthy to untie." John, the one who was not, had one job to do, and that was to bear witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. To bear witness to the Word who became flesh and walked among us. To bear witness to the Word that comes into the world. The point of John's ministry was to point to Jesus. Nothing more and nothing less. He was sent by God into the world to point to Jesus. Here's how one artist captures the essence of John's ministry in a painting that's about 400 years old. That's it. That's who John is. That's what he was sent to do. He points to Jesus over and over and over again. In fact, the way John writes it and the tense he uses in the prologue is he says John is still pointing to Jesus. He never stopped. And the reason John's ministry was essential why God sent him into the world to point other people to Jesus is because Christ was not obvious. Christ was not obvious when he came into the world. If we back up into the prologue again in verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Okay, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This is one of the great mysteries of the gospel. The Word came into the world, and the world did not recognize the Word, even though the world had the Word's creative fingerprints all over it. The Word came to his own, those who knew the Scriptures better than anyone else, and they did not recognize or receive him. Christ was not obvious. When John is speaking to those investigators from Jerusalem, he says to them, among you stands one you do not know. Among you, standing one you don't know. It's quite possible, likely even, that Jesus was standing there in the crowd listening in on this conversation. Imagine it. They're peppering John with questions, and he keeps saying, I am not, I am not, I am not. Meanwhile, just a few feet over, the great I am is standing there listening. There's one standing among you whom you do not know, whom you cannot recognize. He was there, and no one knew who he was. No one knew where he came from. No one knew what he had come to do except John, because Christ was not obvious. There was nothing in Christ's appearance that would mark him off as special. Not the way he walked, not the way he talked, not the way he looked. Despite what we see in the paintings, he did not have that glowing bulb around his head or some halo indicating that he was special. Absolutely normal, absolutely average. Nothing obvious about him. The prophet Isaiah speaks about or writes about a suffering servant. And that passage is applied to Jesus in different places in the New Testament, but there's one line in Isaiah 53, verse 2, where Isaiah says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Christ was not obvious. And so the Word needed a witness. You could be standing in line waiting to be baptized by John, having a conversation with the Christ, talking about the size of the crowd, talking about the weather, the beautiful sky, rubbing shoulders with the Word, and it never occurred to you that you were rubbing shoulders with the Word through whom all things were created. He was not obvious, and so he needed a witness. Not obvious to the crowds, not obvious to the religious leaders. And here's the crazy thing. He wasn't even obvious to the witness. John says, as he's giving his testimony, in verse 33, he said, I myself did not know him. I didn't know who he was until I saw the Holy Spirit descend and remain on him. And even then, I knew that was him because God told me to be looking for it. John could take no credit in his own testimony. He did not recognize Christ because he was smarter or because he was more holy or more spiritual. He recognized Christ because God told him who and what to be looking for. And then he testified what he had seen and heard, what had been revealed to him by God. Even the witness needed help from above to recognize Christ, to recognize the Word made flesh walking in his midst. Even John the witness needed help from above to see Christ for who he really was, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And after 2,000 years, not much has changed. Christ is still not obvious to most people. Not as obvious as we would like him to be. Not as obvious as we think he should be. Maybe not as obvious to others as he is to us. He's still not obvious. It's just not God's way of coming into the world. Despite the global missionary success of the religion that came after him, despite the influence Christianity has had in Western civilization, despite the many church buildings bearing his name peppering our cityscape, despite the holiday named after him, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is still not obvious. And that is to say that most people do not, cannot, will not discover and recognize Christ on their own. They need help from above. The Word still needs a witness. The world still needs someone to point people to Christ. And John was the first witness, sent by God into the world so that others would believe in Christ and have life in him. But he was not the only witness. Many other witnesses have come after him, including you, including me. And John, the original witness in the wilderness, shows us how to do our job. He shows us how to do our job with deference, refusing to ever make ourselves the star of the show, refusing to ever make the gospel story about us, what we do or who we are or what we build. Instead, it's always about Jesus. When John's competitive disciples came to him and were worried because Jesus was growing in popularity, this is what John said in chapter 3. He said, "That's okay, I'm happy for him. He must become greater, I must become less. He must increase, I must decrease. Mas Christ indeed." John shows us how to do our job with deference. He shows us how to do our job with humility. What we know of Jesus is a gift from God. We did not figure it out on our own. Who we are in Christ is the result of getting help from above, having other people point us to Jesus, someone we would never be able to see for ourselves. We're all just beggars telling other beggars where to find some bread. And John shows us how to do our job with deference and humility, but also with confidence, because we know the truth about what we have seen and heard. We speak the truth of our experience with Christ. We know what we have seen Christ do in our lives when our hearts were broken, when all hope seemed lost. We have seen the Lord. And we know what words we have heard from Christ, words of life in our darkest moments. And so we speak the truth, what we have seen and heard, knowing it's not our job to make or convince anyone to believe in Christ. All we are witnesses to the truth. All we are witnesses who tell others our experience, what we have seen and what we have heard. And John shows us how to do this boldly. He shows us how to do our job with deference and humility, but also with confidence. And he also shows us how to do our job without distraction. And this is a really big one, because there will always be the temptation for the church to make its mission about something other than pointing to Jesus. It happens all the time, and it is so easy to do. We can point to other churches and how they're not doing it right. Or we can point to ourselves and how we're doing it better than all the others. Or we can point to a celebrity preacher and we can root our faith in their charisma. until they fall and leave us with nothing to stand on. Or we can point to a politician and base our hope on a political platform or an agenda. And meanwhile, the original witness in the wilderness stands pointing us back to our first love and calling us back to our fundamental job description, to point others to Jesus, who is not always obvious, but is nevertheless always present among us. You've seen on social media those memes. You had one job. Seen these? Normally they illustrate that the person who had one job to do didn't do their one job. You had one job. It was your job. One job. Okay, church. We have one job. We have one job. And may God keep giving us the help we need from above so that we can see and hear more of Christ this Christmas. And may we continue to point our neighbors to Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's stand and sing.